There are principles in God's word that always work if you'll apply them to your life. The Bible says if you have an ear, hear what the Spirit has to say. I was in the Army and artillery, and because of that, I've been wearing hearing aids for over 40 years. And Brother Paul Dorflinger told me tonight that he was in a store, and all of a sudden God told him to witness to somebody that was in line. And it's amazing. You don't have to have great hearing in order to hear the voice of God and what he wants you to do. Amen. Glory to God. So in Psalms 84, in verse number 10, it says, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory." Now look at this last part. "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." No good thing. You'll never get the short end of the stick. You'll never not have what you want. Conditional. Contingent upon. If you walk uprightly. "O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Lord, we ask your blessing on the word. We're so grateful to be in your presence. We're so grateful to hear the testimonies of our young people and how well things went at their camp. Continue, God. Encourage us. We're grateful for the gifts of the Spirit in operation in your church. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I'd like you also to turn to Romans chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves." So you can't just walk into a church and hear the word of God and be transformed into a Christian any more than walking into a garage makes you a car. You have to apply what you hear in order to be justified. There's a false sense of security thinking, "I came to church. I heard the message. I heard the message again. Heard the message again." But there was never an application of the message in my life. So there's really no justification. At this time of the year, there are more people who fall away from God than any other time of the year. Why? Because good weather and recreation crowds out the time for God. It's a dangerous time for Christians because we exercise our freedom to enjoy weather and recreation. We are exposed to things that sometimes alienate us from God. And without a clear conscience, listen to me, without a clear conscience, we are uncomfortable in church. If we've been involved in something that we know we shouldn't have been involved in, we aren't settled in church. We can't really have a freedom like we sang about tonight. You see, the Word of God has no seasons. It is a wall of protection all year round for us if we have the application of the Word and if we will walk in righteousness. Turn to Ecclesiastes, chapter 8. Verse number 2 says, I counsel thee to keep the king's commandments, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. We're talking about God. There's power in the preaching. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whosoever keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. So we find that God gives us a power through his word. That's why it's important to not only pray, but read God's word. It's the only book that'll talk to you, you see. Romans 13 and 5 in the New International Version says, therefore it is necessary to submit to God, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. So when we submit to the things of God, we now are presented with a clear conscience that gives us access to the power and the presence of God. There is a direct relationship between obedience to God's word and a clear conscience. If you hear the word of God and then you don't respond to the word of God, you can't possibly have a clear conscience that allows us to get into the presence of God. It's not enough to walk into a church and hear the word. It doesn't give you that clear conscience. It does in a traditional sense, in a traditional religion. They feel that that's all that is necessary. There's no real emphasis on applying it. You know, it's like the Pharisees. You know, they kept all of the little things, but Jesus said, you know what? You're washing the outside of the cup instead of the inside of the cup. Romans 2 and 13 said, for not the hearer of the law are just before God, but the doer of the law shall be justified. And then if you go to James, the first chapter, and verse 22, it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, we heard that this morning. You know, the two words that don't fit together is law and liberty. But with God, responding to the law gives us freedom or liberty, you see. So we find, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth, ETH, meaning continues always herein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Glory to God. In my home Bible studies, I always use the illustration. I get up in the morning, I go into the bathroom, I turn the light on, I look in the mirror, and I have two options. Shut the light off or do something about the way I look. When you come to church, it's much like that. Your option is, I heard it. Am I going to do anything about it? So you forfeit all of the goodness that God wants. No good thing would he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You see? The hearing of God's word brings conviction, not condemnation. See, what it's supposed to do is say, hey, you should be doing something. Not you're condemned, you see. But if we ignore the word, we isolate ourselves from the presence of God. How many times do I have to tell you? Did you ever say that to your kids? How many times do I have to tell you that? Well, could God be saying, how many preachings, how many messages do I have to tell you? And still, you haven't gotten the principle of God. And even if people haven't heard the word of God, they understand by nature, the Bible says, the things contained in the law. There's something inherent within us, and their conscience bearing witness and their thoughts accusing themselves. They still feel a bad conscience, even not ever hearing the word of God, preventing a clear conscience towards God. And that's why people just don't naturally want to come to church or hear about God. They fear God's judgment. Nah, I don't think I'll come. I know I'm not right with God. Why would I want to come to a place that looks like a judgment hall? You know, I'm afraid God's going to take it out on me. You see, those who don't understand the grace and the mercy of God, they fear because they haven't been right with God. They had to invite me, I don't know how many times before I came to my first Pentecostal service, because I didn't have a good conscience towards God. Most of you felt exactly the same way. Why would I want to go to a place and find out that I'm not doing right? You know, if anything happens to my wife, if she has a little pain or whatever it is, she's at the doctor like that. I want to know what's wrong. My attitude is, if I don't go to the doctor, he'll never tell me anything bad. You know? So there are people who just don't want to sit under the preaching because as long as I don't ever hear anything, I'll be fine. But nature tells you, according to the Bible, you see, we have to understand the mindset of those that we invite and explain we felt the same way that you have. They had to drag me in here. I wonder how many times I've opened services saying, you know, I was uncomfortable when I first came in. Why? Because I want to let them know that that isn't a foreign feeling. Everybody who walks in, who's never been a part of a spirit-filled church, has this problem, you see. I've made the mistake of telling people that they'll feel the power and the presence of God when you come into our church. Well, that's a scary thing for most people. They don't want to feel the power and the presence of God. To us, it's a wonderful thing. But for people who have never been in that kind of atmosphere, I don't think so. Get me to some place that doesn't have any movement. All they need is to be brainwashed, just like us. You know, how many times have you heard people say, you've been brainwashed? Well, that's exactly right. My brain was washed when the rest of my body was washed. You know, now I'm thinking clearly. Now I have a clear conscience in the cranium, you see. All they need is to be brainwashed just like us. There's a washing of the brain, the conscience by the word of God, and his presence that makes us feel good. You know, let me feel your spirit one more time. Reassure me, Lord, that I am thine. Because we walk in, and even though you've been living for God for years and years, you're still, we're still okay, God. We need to know that, you know. We need to know our conscience is clear, and then we can boldly come to the throne of grace in time of need. You see, if you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, a very familiar scripture, it says, the like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. I wonder how many people have tried to get rid of this scripture. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. What is it? But the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, when we're baptized in Jesus' name, we have this clean feeling and the burdens are gone And we now have a clear conscience. God loves everybody, but he hates sin. And once we're baptized and put on his righteousness, then God can come as close to us as he wants, and we can get as close to God as we want. Then if you go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and verse 26, it says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, talking about us, with the washing of water by the word of God. So every time you walk into a church service, you get washed again, brainwashed. You get the negative things out. Because we walk in here, I don't know where you've been, I don't know where I've been, but we pick up negative things, and when we come in and hear the word of God, there's a cleansing by the water of the word. And then in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See, if we don't get rid of the negative feelings or this bad conscience, well, we're not going to get anything from God. We really are. And that's why we need a regular brainwashing in every service, a regular time with God. Not only worship, but the preaching of God's word, you see, a clearing of our conscience so we can get close to God. It wasn't enough that last Wednesday, not enough that last Sunday you had a cleansing, but you have to have a regular cleansing. There aren't too many of you who don't shower regularly. Those of you don't, we know who you are. And those who don't get a regular brainwashing, we know who you are, because it's hard for you to get your arms up. It's hard for you to get close to God because you don't have that clear conscience that you're supposed to have. It's incredible what a clear conscience will do for us over time. No problem sleeping with a clear conscience. No anxieties, no fears, no feelings of guilt. Have you ever awakened in the middle of the night because you got this thing happening in your life and you just, I don't know what's going to happen. But if you have a clear conscience with God, you don't have to worry about those things. The best thing that Adam and Eve had going for them in the garden was a perfectly clear conscience. No guilt, no regrets, no problems. And part of that was because they were ignorant of evil. They didn't know the difference from good and evil. Stay away from the tree, you won't know any difference between good and evil. You know what we need to do? We need to protect these kids from evil. That's the job of the church. That's my job as a pastor, to protect the congregation from the ravages of evil. They say ignorance is bliss. There's too much broadcast of all evil going on in this world. I mean, you can't turn the radio on, you can't get any information without some ugly thing showing up with little reported of what's good happening in the world. Third graders are taught they have a choice in gender and they get sexual education. What's wrong with this thing? Indoctrinating kids at an age where they shouldn't be even thinking about these things? People want to be told that abortion is legal. Why? So they have a clear conscience when they do wrong. That's why they're so angry. But by their very nature, their conscience bearing witness against them. Well, I think we all have a right. You know why? Because You're feeling guilty. You're looking for somebody to say, it's okay. See? And even people in church, it's okay. You can do whatever you want. Well, the authority said, now I can, with a clear conscience, do whatever I want. Not according to this book. You see? We have to guard our minds from all of the depravity and corruption around us. Romans 16 and 19 says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple or innocent concerning evil. What Paul is saying is, the thing you have to understand is, you got to stay right with the good things in life and stay away from the evil things in life, because they'll track you down and make your life miserable. For years, I've looked for stupid pills so I could forget some of the things that I've experienced in my life. And it's strange, after all of these years, those things keep popping up like things on your computer, you know? But once you've experienced them, it's hard to get rid of them. The key is, stop experiencing them. Don't let our young people experience those things, because it'll hinder them in later life. It'll cause battles in their life. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and verse 26, Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. It isn't because of wisdom, you see. Young people, stay ignorant of sin and the corruption of this world. That's why we send them to camp. We surround them with good preaching and the presence of God. You know, everybody has to be involved in something. Our young people have to be involved in something. They need to be involved in the right things. Many times, Paul used the words, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning, you know? He wasn't talking about the ugly things in this world. He was saying, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. You need to know. I wouldn't have you ignorant about where are the dead. I would not have you to be ignorant concerning the true gospel, like there's another gospel. I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those things, but he would have us ignorant concerning the evil things that so easily are set before us. We're living in a day like never before where we can just punch an iPad or a computer and evil comes right into our house. Once you see some of those things, you're going to battle those things for your whole lifetime, because those pictures will come back up again. We can't allow ourselves to be exposed to those things over and over, especially through a corrupt media. And once we have been exposed, we can never forget those things, and we could develop an appetite for those things if we don't check them. Well, I'm just going to take a little peek. And now, all of a sudden, we have an appetite for those things, and now we're having a battle with them. And now we can't walk into the church with a clear conscience any longer, because we've done things according to our nature that we know would not please God. There are things in all of our lives that we wish we had never experienced, every one of us. Now, even though they're under the blood and God has forgotten and forgiven us, I don't understand how God forgets all of the trash in my life, but I can't, you see. And God forgives us. The problem we have sometimes, like it says in Psalms 51, is that our sin is ever before us, and we have to forgive ourselves, knowing that God has forgiven us. But nevertheless, we've had those experiences that I wish we could just blot out of our mind, but God's grace is sufficient. Don't take the free tour of evil in this world. And it is, because it isn't free. It comes with a price. I don't care how many people say, it's okay, you know. And even if we aren't involved in it, it still can attach itself to us. You see? Well, I see it, but I'm not involved in it. But it can still attach itself to us. And the next time you want to raise your arms and worship God, it's not as easy as it was before. Turn to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, starting in 14. Paul again is writing to the Corinthians in verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Why? "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel or a non-believer? And what agreement hath the temple of God, which we are, with idols? For you are the temples of the living God, as Christ has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, or because of this, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." You know, if we could just erase the hard drive of our head like a computer, you know, if every time you came in here, you could just line up and I could hit a button and erase the hard drive, and now you've got a clear conscience, we can start all over again. Wouldn't that be nice? Amen. But you can't. If you'll turn to Daniel in the Old Testament, chapter 6, verse 22. Thrown into the lion's den. We have a picture of it. It's just amazing how we got that picture. It was 3,000 years ago, but we got that picture. Don't ask me how, folks, just, you know. Verse 22 says, "My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Innocency, or I had a clear conscience, and God shut them out. You know, there's a lot of lions in life, open mouths who will accuse or run you down. You don't have to do anything. Let God shut their mouths. You just be innocent. Don't respond to that. And then in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 17. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, God will always step forward and protect those who are innocent, who have a clear conscience towards God. I try to live for God the best that I possibly can, but there are going to be times where I'm going to stumble and you're going to stumble. But you know what? If I try to live for God the best that I possibly can, God is always there to pick me up. Our job is not our job is to stay innocent, and God's job is to protect us because we are innocent, and he'll close the mouths of the lion. Hallelujah. We sometimes get our jobs confused, like we have to take charge of this. Every parent goes through the challenges of keeping our children from the world. And our challenge now is worse than ever. Back in the day when I was a child, the exposure was so limited to what the exposure is today. But can we afford to allow them to have associations with unbelievers, with people who don't value what we value at all? As innocent as it might seem, they'll have an effect on young minds, and all of a sudden, we've got a problem. I don't want to go to church. You see, what seems to be innocent could be a disaster. There were many tears in our household because I said no. Not because it was evil, not because I wanted to deny them pleasure or any kind of fun, but I wanted to protect them from temptation in the future. And there isn't anything more valuable than our children. There isn't anything more valuable than protecting people within the church. We are our brother's keepers, you know. We have to help each other have a clear conscience so we can get into the presence of God and be washed and renewed and strengthened on a regular basis. You know, it seems that when there isn't a clear conscience, it's almost like people stand with a big sign on saying, I'm just not right with God. I can't worship. Years ago, there was a young man who was from another church that, I had a conversation with him, and I mean, he just rebuked me. I mean, he was in another church, and I didn't have the authority. I suggested some things that he shouldn't do. And I'll tell you, I've never heard such language from a young man. We're talking somebody who was 17, 18 years old. I talked to his parents, and they said, I don't know what to do with him. But years later, I got a call. He had been at a conference, concert. That's what it was. And after the concert, somebody came out and stabbed him 6 times in the back. Didn't know who he was. And now he was in intensive care in a hospital. And he gave me a call. And I remember standing at his bedside. You know, he's got all kinds of tubes in him. He's got oxygen on him. And he said, Pastor, I just want to apologize for what I said way back then. He really thought he was dying. In fact, the doctors didn't know whether or not he was going to pull through. But he recognized, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die with a clear conscience. You see. But all the other kids are doing it. I wonder how many times I've heard that. But Pastor, all the other churches don't have a problem with that. Wonder how many times I've heard that. No, I want to protect our power. I want to protect the presence of God in this place. I want to protect the anointing. I want to protect our salvation. I want to protect the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to protect a clear conscience so when we have a problem, we can say, God, shut the lion's mouth. God, take care of this thing for me. You see? I don't want to have this little thing out there that I've never repented, and therefore I don't have the clear conscience. And I don't want you to have to fight a battle down the road that you didn't have to fight. Hallelujah. You know, one thing that Jesus said is, look, the devil can't attach anything to me. I don't want anything in my life that the devil can get a hold of and preventing me from being all I can for God. Church, you have a tough dad. I say no a lot. Not because I want to prevent any pleasure or fun in your life, but I want to protect you from battles down the road. Because I know if I let up, you're going to be in some kind of skirmish down the road. No question in my life. But I love you, and I want to see you saved. When it's all said and done, we're all going home in the same place. Glory to God. One more scripture as our musicians come. Romans, the 8th chapter. It says in verse number 1, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Have you noticed that, you know, when we witness to someone about the goodness of God and they don't agree because their doctrine is different, we don't feel condemnation. But when we bring truth to somebody who doesn't have truth, all of a sudden, so angry at us, defending themselves without scripture. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, or an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I wept over that scripture before I was baptized. God, you're saying if I don't have your Spirit, I don't belong to you. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, we always look at that as, you know, we're going up in the rapture. The same Spirit that made Christ alive will make us alive. And, of course, I believe that, so do you. But I also believe that that Spirit can quicken us or make us alive to the things of God. Hallelujah. So you get into the preaching of the Word of God and into a lively song service, and all of a sudden, the dead man becomes alive again. I don't want to perform any more autopsies. I want to see some people made alive again. But that has to happen on a regular basis. I'll tell you, God has prompted me with this message that it is so important that we have a clear conscience towards God. Brother Billy Cole was probably the greatest evangelist that I have ever experienced. Had revivals of literally thousands and thousands of people being filled with the Holy Ghost and miraculous healings, especially in Ethiopia. But what he recognizes before God could do anything, he would literally have people down on their knees. I remember having it done at camp and at our Ready to be Set Free rallies. He would say, all right, we need to get on our knees and ask God for forgiveness. And once you have that clear conscience, open the windows of heaven. Because now God can do something. But if you hold back, I'll give you all of the rooms in my house. But there's this one room. I'm sorry. When you get ready to clear out that room, I'll be ready to help you. You see, a clear conscience. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Over the years, I've had problems with people. Maybe some of it is my doing. You have had problems with people, maybe even avoided them, sat on the other side of the church instead of being close to them. And all we had to do is go to them and say, let's put this aside so we both have a clear conscience. Maybe we've disagreed, but let's be brethren. Our sisters. And all of a sudden, there's a clear conscience between you two. The same is true with God. Tonight would be a good night. God, is there anything? Let the searchlight of heaven shine on my heart. Show me things that I need to get rid of, because I don't want anything coming between you and I. The altar's open. Would you come?